word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Good morning, and thank you for tuning in to the Back to the Bible radio program. This is Brent Arnold, the preacher for the Greenfield Church of Christ in Greenfield, Tennessee. And I'm delighted to have the opportunity to study God's Word with you this morning. Now, let us open God's Word together as we go back to the Bible. Because of his trust by many Arab tribes, the famous British scholar and soldier Lawrence of Arabia participated in the Paris peace talks after World War I. Several Arab leaders came with him to Paris and stayed in the same hotel. When they went into their bathrooms, they were astounded to discover that they could bring seemingly unlimited amounts of water into the bathtub or sink simply by turning the handle on a faucet. When preparing to leave Paris, they removed the faucets and packed them in their luggage, thinking that the faucets themselves just sort of magically created these vast amounts of water. When they told Lawrence what they had done, he explained that the faucets were useless unless they were connected to the pipes that were in turn connected to a source of water. In the same way, a person who is connected to God's Son is a son of God and connected to the Father in heaven. And as a son of God, he has access, or she has access, to all of God's riches and all of God's power and all of God's blessings. But without this connection to the Son of God, we would be a slave to this world. We would be powerless, hopeless. In this lesson today, we're going to open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3, and we're going to talk about some things that pertain to our connection to God through Jesus Christ. And as we study this passage, we'll learn about what we are now. If we are connected to God through Christ, we are now sons of God. But we'll also talk about what we used to be, before we were connected to God through Jesus Christ. We were slaves to this world. And then finally, we'll talk about what God did to make that possible, to transform us from a slave into a son of God. All right, so let's open our Bibles to Galatians chapter 3. And begin in verse 26. It says, "For you are all sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus." We become sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. God is the creator of all people. And in that sense, you could say that all people are a son of God. But to become a son of God, in the special sense that we're talking about, that has to happen and will happen only for those who are believers in Christ Jesus. John 1, 11 and 12 says that Jesus came to his own, and his own did not receive him. The phrase "his own" refers to his Jewish brethren who were so caught up in their traditions and their old ways that they refused to see the truth about Jesus. They did not receive him. But as many as received him, people like his disciples, like Peter, James, and John, and others, the ones who received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. His name is Jesus Christ. Jesus reminds us of his humanity and how he is like us or was. And he is also the Son of God, which reminds us of his divinity, that he is like God. If we believe in that, that Jesus is the Christ, then we can become a child of God. But without faith in Christ Jesus, we would be enemies of God. Romans 5:10 says, "For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life." And so before we were reconciled through Jesus, we were enemies, enemies of God. Now, unfortunately, sometimes people stop there when it comes to the process of becoming a son of God. They'll say that all you need to do is believe in Jesus and you are a son of God, just on the basis of faith and faith only. But what I notice about the passage that I read in John 1:11-12, it says that those who received him and believed in him, they were given the right to become. They were not made children of God right then, but the door was open so that they could become children of God. But for that to happen, it would require something more than just faith. The Bible makes it clear that faith without works is dead. James 2:26. A man is justified by works and not by faith only. James 2:24. Now some might say, well, that sounds like you're saying that we have to earn our salvation or earn our way to heaven. No, that's not the kind of works that we're talking about. We're not talking about works that we do on our own to try to earn something with God. We're talking about the works that Jesus has commanded us to do. A faith that is not willing to do what Jesus commands is a dead faith. So, faith is essential to becoming a son of God, but it is not the final step. So, let's go to verse 27. "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ have put on Christ." This passage shows us that we become sons of God when we put on Christ in baptism. Now there again, some people say, well, if you say that people have to be baptized in order to be saved and in order to become a child of God, then you're saying that they're earning it by that act. No, that's not what I believe at all. I do not believe that baptism is a work of merit by which we earn something, but baptism is a work of God that he has commanded for us to do. The prodigal son, he had to come home. He came home wearing dirty rags of slavery, but he had to come home. And we have to do the same thing. We all have to come to God. We may be stained, we may be shamed by our sin, but we have to turn away from our sin and come to God. And when we are baptized, God clothes us with the robe of Christ's perfect life, and our appearance is changed from a sinner to a child of Christ. And when he looks at us, all he will see is his Son. Galatians 3:27 tells us that when we're baptized into Christ, we put on Christ. And once we put him on, that's all God sees. Now, I want you to think about something with me, my friend. If you have not yet been baptized, I want you to think, how do you appear before God? Are you still wearing the dirty rags of your sin, of your rebellion against God? Or have you put on Christ? Do you want the Father to see the old sinner that you used to be, or do you want him to see Christ and the person that you are now? The Bible makes it clear that baptism marks the difference between those two points in our spiritual walk. Galatians 3:27 is not the only passage that says that either. Jesus said it himself in Mark 16:16, "He who believes and is baptized will be saved." Peter preached it on the day of Pentecost when he said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins." Paul taught it in Romans 6, 3 and 4. Know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death, and therefore we were raised by death from the grave to walk in newness of life. Where were we joined with the death of Christ? When we were baptized into his death. Peter said in 1 Peter 3:21, the like figure whereunto baptism doth also now save us. And here in Galatians 3:27, those who have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. Verse 28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek, there is neither slave nor free, there is neither male nor female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. All of God's children are equal in Christ Jesus. The essence of discrimination is that certain groups are more valuable and more significant than others, but the gospel destroys all such arrogant thinking. The ground is level at the foot of the cross. And the person who becomes one with Christ becomes one with all believers. His standing is not above any other, not based on gender, not based on culture or race, not based off of any other social factor. Now, there is a misconception that sometimes arises from this passage. When the Bible says there is neither male nor female, that doesn't mean that God doesn't recognize gender, doesn't mean that there are different roles of leadership and service in the church. Now, some have concluded that. Many in our modern world today have concluded that gender is something that we can assign ourselves, not from a biblical standpoint. In the Old Testament, it was very clear that men were to behave as men and women were to behave as women. Men had different roles than women, and they were to observe the gender with which they were born as they executed those roles. The same is true in the New Testament. 1 Corinthians 6 is one of those passages. It indicates the effeminate will not inherit the kingdom of God. The effeminate are men who behave as women, dressing as women and acting as women. We may attempt to reassign our gender, but that doesn't mean that it will change our gender in the eyes of God. And in Galatians 3:28, Paul, when he said there is neither male nor female, what didn't mean to say that gender is something that's fluid and can change. What he means is God is equally willing to save man and woman. He is not more concerned about the salvation of men than he is the salvation of women. He is not more concerned about bringing women to heaven than he is men. He shares an equal concern for all genders, just as he shares an equal concern for all races. God wants all people in heaven, Jew and Gentile, and he doesn't want one any more than he wants the other, because he wants them all the most. Furthermore, Galatians 3:28 is not implying that there aren't different roles of leadership in the church. Now, some have concluded that if there is in Christ no male or female, then when it comes to serving as a preacher, it doesn't matter if you're man or woman. When it comes to serving as an elder in the church, it wouldn't matter if you were a man or a woman, or to serve in other leadership capacities. Now, the Bible is not indicating that men are superior to women, but it does indicate that they have different roles in the home and in the church. Paul said in 1 Timothy 2:12, I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over a man. Elders are to be the husband of one wife if they are to be qualified for their work, and the same is true for deacons. All of these point to the place of male spiritual leadership in the home and in the church. That's something that we're to recognize. No matter how much cultures may change from generation to generation, that principle of truth is going to always remain the same. And so there are different roles and there are different places, but the opportunity to be a child of God and the opportunity to be saved is the same all across the board. There is neither male nor female. There is neither slave nor free. There is neither Jew nor Greek, for we are all one in Christ Jesus. And as sons of God, we have equal access to an eternal inheritance. Verse 29 says, "And if you are Christ, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." And Galatians 4:7, the Bible says, "Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, then an heir of God through Christ." All that God promised to Abraham in the Old Testament, he gives to us today in Christ. When you go back to Genesis 12, you read about that promise. God told Abraham, "I will go with you and I will bless you. I will bless those who bless you and curse those who curse you. I will make your name great. From you will come a great nation, and that nation will inherit the promised land of Canaan. And through your seed, all nations of the earth will be blessed." Now, that latter part of that promise is a reference to Christ, the seed that came through Abraham's family to save all people from their sins. When you read the Old Testament, you get to see God at work keeping that promise to Abraham. In Exodus, he leads the people out of Egyptian slavery because he has to keep the promise that he made to Abraham. Throughout the period of the kings, God protected them when various enemies rose up against them. Why? Because they were descendants of Abraham, and God promised to take care of them. Today, he watches over us, just as he watched over Abraham and his family in the Old Testament. If we are in Christ, then we are one of Abraham's spiritual children. We may not have his blood flowing through our veins, but if we have his faith in our hearts, then we are a spiritual child of Abraham and a recipient of all of the promises that God has made. And whatever Jesus is and has now becomes ours too as heirs of God. Christ has God's love. So do we. Christ has full access to God. So do we. Christ will always be right by God's side. So will we. What a blessing to be an heir of God. Furthermore, as sons of God, we have a special relationship with God. Verse 6 says, "And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying out, 'Abba, Father.' Therefore you are no longer a slave, but a son, and if a son, and an heir of God through Christ Jesus." The term Abba that's used here is a very special term. It's an Aramaic word for Father that could be translated Papa. Just like in the English language, we have the term Father. It's a little bit more formal. Or we have the word Dad or Daddy or Papa, which is a little more tender, a little more personal term to indicate the closeness and the intimacy of that relationship between the father and his children. Because we are sons of God through Christ Jesus, this passage tells us that We have the Spirit of God in our hearts, and we have the privilege of being able to cry out, Abba, as we cry out unto God. There's a closeness between us, an intimacy in our relationship with God. A friend of mine shared a story that with me that really helped me to understand this word, Abba. He was visiting Israel. He had been to a number of the historical sites there that are related to the Bible. And one particular day, he was sitting at a cafe, just sort of taking it easy and enjoying a cup of coffee. And this family was walking by on the street, and this little boy was running along, and he did, as a lot of little boys do, he tripped over something and fell, and he scraped his knee. Well, immediately he came running back to his daddy. And as he did, he had his hands up in the air, and he was, squeezing his hands, wanting his dad to pick him up. And as he was doing that, he just kept crying out, Abba, 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 Abba. And my friend said that in that moment, he understood how tender this term is. No father could ignore his son crying out to him in that way and using that word. He cares too much about his children. And when we pray, we are able to say, Abba, Father, and know that God will respond to us in the way that a father would. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. Hebrews 4:16. No servant could ever say Abba to his father, or to his master, rather. But we as children of God are able to say that to our Father and our God in heaven. Sometimes I think we just need that reassurance of what we have and what we've been promised. And the Holy Spirit works in this area to give us reassurance and confidence through Scripture. How blessed we are that we can be called the sons of God. But we don't need to forget what we were, because at one time we were slaves of the world. Galatians 4:1-3 says, Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, does not differ at all from a slave, though he is master of all, but is under guardians and stewards until the time appointed by the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. But when the fullness of the time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that they might receive the adoption of sons. Before our salvation, we were controlled by the world. In ancient times, there was a clear division between being an adult and being a child. The Jews would hold a bar mitzvah at age 12. The Romans also had a ceremony called toga virilis, in which the children would offer their toys as a sacrifice to the gods. Now, until that time, they had to answer to their masters the same way that a slave would. They weren't free to go where they wanted to go or do what they wanted to do. But the day would come when, after that rite of passage, and they would become recognized as an adult child. And then the day would come that they would inherit all things. But for right now, they had to take orders. And this analogy represents our process in becoming sons of God. Before we were Christians, before we became Christians, we were in a state of spiritual immaturity like children. And we were slaves to sin and held captive by an earthly way of life. But God had other things in store for us. I heard about a new Christian who came to see his preacher. He was in deep distress. He said, No matter how much I pray, no matter how hard I try, I simply cannot seem to be faithful to my Lord. The preacher said, You see this dog here? Now, he is my dog. He is house trained. He never makes a mess. He is obedient. He is a pure delight to me. Out in the kitchen, I have a son, a baby son. And oh, he makes a terrible mess. He throws his food around. He messes up his clothes. He's a total mess. But who's going to inherit my kingdom? Now, hopefully someday my son will learn to live better and not make such a mess with his life. But even until then, I'm still going to love him as my son, because that's who he is. In a spiritual way, we are Christ's heirs, not through our perfection, but by means of his grace. Sometimes we make a mess. When we do, we need to clean it up, and we need to grow, and we need to mature. And the situation with the Galatians illustrates that there is always going to be pressure to go back to that old way of life, but we have to resist that pressure. We just can't give in and go back. If we do, we go back to slavery. We once were slaves, but now we are sons of God, and we ought to live that way. And as we finish this lesson today, I want to talk about what God did to transform us from slaves to his sons. He redeemed us and he adopted us. He sent his son, who was born of a woman, born under the law. This phrase, born of a woman, reminds us of the virgin birth of Jesus. If this referred merely to a natural birth, it really wouldn't be saying anything, because every man is born of woman. This refers to a man being born of woman without the seed of man. Jesus was born of a virgin. And he was born under the law. He experienced that same uphill struggle that we all go through. The only difference was he was perfect and we are not. And he gave his perfect life to pay the price to set us free from our slavery. He redeemed us. He did what we could not do and paid the price to set us free. And then, after he had set us free, he accepted us into his family, where we can be an heir, where we can be recognized as a child of God. And now that we are in God's family, we should never turn back. We should become willing servants of the Lord. Romans 6, 17 and 18 says, God be thanked that you were the slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart the form of doctrine to which you were delivered. And having been set free from sin, you became slaves of righteousness. I want to be a willing slave of all that God wants me to do. Where do you stand today, my friend? Are you still a slave? Please don't continue in that way of life. If you believe in Jesus and if you're willing to be baptized into him, you can put on Christ and be seen today as a child of God. We would love to have the opportunity to help you take that step. And so if there's anything that we can do, please contact us today.
Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path.
Again, this has been Brent Arnold from the Greenfield Church of Christ. Thank you for tuning in today. We hope and pray that this lesson has been a blessing to you, and we hope that you'll tune in again next week to this same station at this same time. Please come and visit us as soon as you can. We're located on Highway 45 in Greenfield, Tennessee. We meet on Sundays at 10, 10:45 a.m. and 6 p.m. We also meet on Wednesdays at 7 p.m. You can contact us either by calling us at 731-235-2341 or by emailing us at greenfieldchurchofchrist@yahoo.com. We'll be looking forward to our next opportunity to go back to the Bible. Till then, have a great day.